Well, good morning, Hope Church. I do hope that you're well. It's great to have you join with us for our online service today. A special warm welcome wherever you may be watching, in different parts of London or even different parts of the world. It's great to have you join with us. Do pop your name or where you're watching from on the chat. Do put any prayer requests in there or any encouragements from the last week or points from the preach which have really helped you or encouraged you, and would be great to engage in that way. Now, today is the final part of our preaching series looking at the book of Colossians. The title of this series has been Complete, and it's been a real joy to go through the book of Colossians. Such a rich and a deep book. It's really the Rosetta Stone of the New Testament. It's one of Paul's most beautiful and rich and deep writings. And so much in it has helped us to unlock other parts of the New Testament. Listen, if you've not got anything else from the last 7 or 8 weeks, and you want one thing to hold on to, then listen to this. As a Christian, you are complete in Christ Jesus. There's nothing to add to the finished work of the cross. That's the boiled down, distilled wisdom from the book of Colossians. The dictionary definition of complete is having all the necessary parts. Nothing else needs doing. In Christ, you're complete. As a Christian, as a believer, you can look in the mirror, and in Christ Jesus, you are complete. What a wonderful and a glorious truth. I am complete in Christ Jesus. Now, today we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. And these five verses are very unusual in comparison to the rest of Colossians. And in fact, they're even more unusual compared to Paul's other writings and other letters. In fact, they're very insightful, these five verses. They spoil almost the closeness, the parallel between Ephesians and Colossians. Last week, if you remember, we saw the parallel between Ephesians 5 and 6 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 to 4 verse 1. We saw how they really interlinked, and there were such close parallels between the two. But these five verses in chapter 4 don't parallel Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 20. There we have Paul talking about putting on the armour of God and spiritual warfare. But here, Paul is giving us some practical teaching about how to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It may sound a bit odd, but nowhere else in any other of Paul's letters does he give similar training in personal evangelism. What we have elsewhere in Paul's letters is places where he describes the gospel. He defends the gospel. He tells us that the gospel is for all people, regardless of race or nationality, that the gospel is for all people. But nowhere else does Paul get as practical about the how-to of sharing Jesus as he does in these verses. It's almost like Paul assumes that everyone will get it. It's like he assumes, Acts 1 verse 8, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's almost like he assumes that we'll get that and go and do it. But here, Colossians 4 verses 2 to 6, we actually have a how-to of personal evangelism. So we're going to go through this verse by verse and look at five steps that Paul gives in the how-to of evangelism, of sharing Jesus. Step one, let's read verse 2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. The first step is this. We're to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Paul uses the same Greek word here for prayer that Luke uses in Acts 1 verse 4 and Acts 2 verse 42. It describes the church, the believers, as devoting themselves to prayer. A regular, steadfast commitment to prayer. If we want to be fruitful in evangelism, in seeing people come to Christ, fruitful like the early church and like the Christians that we read about in Scripture, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to pray doggedly and determinedly for those who don't know Jesus yet, to then thank God and then pray some more, to then thank God and then pray some more. I think I may have shared this story before, but it makes the point so well. Right at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a British missionary called James Fraser, who went to the mountainous region in China to reach the Lhasa people with the gospel. Now, he lived in the mountains in pretty treacherous conditions. And for large parts of the year, he was unable to visit the villages and the towns that he was trying to reach with the gospel. So he decided to pray. And he found, to his surprise, that he saw more fruit from 8 months of prayer, when he was unable to physically go and tell people about Jesus. But he spent 8 months in prayer and then traveled for 4 months telling people about Jesus. And he diarizes and says that he saw such an incredible fruit from his 8 months of prayer, from his evangelistic prayer time. He devoted himself to prayer. 2/3 of the year was prayer, and 1/3 was proclaiming the gospel in person. And as he put that into place, he saw more fruit than ever before. The key, James Fraser said, was prayer. This was a quote that he put in his book, Mountain Rain. Solid, lasting missionary work is done on our knees. I used to think that prayer was in the first place, and teaching and proclaiming the gospel was in second place. I now feel that it would be truer to give prayer first place, prayer second place, prayer third place, and teaching and proclaiming the gospel fourth place. What a challenging quote. That's the first step. Second step, let's read verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mysteries of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. You see, Paul is reminding us there that he is in prison, and step two is that we are to ask God to open doors of opportunity. Paul was in prison under house arrest, yet he was still asking God for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Even though he was too weak to get out of the front door and he was chained to a guard, he was asking God for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And I think we can feel like Paul sometimes. We can feel weak. We can feel inadequate when it comes to sharing the Gospels, but we're to pray for opportunities, for doors of opportunities. Do you know the incredible thing about Paul in those 2 years when he was under house arrest? He had incredible opportunities to share the Gospel with countless kings and Caesars and men of nobility and people who came to his house where he was under house arrest, and he was able to tell them about the gospel. Doors of opportunity. Let us be praying this week for doors of opportunity to share Jesus. We might not be under house arrest, but we're kind of still under lockdown, and we might feel restricted in many, many ways, but we're to pray for doors of opportunity. Let's do that and see what happens. Third step, let's read verse 4. That I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Step 3 is that Paul is asking God to help us to speak clearly. I find it fascinating here that Paul's mindset is not to ask the Colossians to just have a small list of people that they are to tell about Jesus. Because you see, successful evangelism and seeing people one to Christ refuses to restrict the list or the people that we tell about Jesus. I think most Christians can get into a dangerous mindset, which is, well, God can only use me to speak to a few close friends or family members. Now, please, it's great to pray persistently for a few close friends, family members, or work colleagues. But Jesus taught us to scatter the seed widely. If we're to see lasting fruit in this time, in our generation, we're to scatter the seed widely. That's the story that Jesus told us, the parable of the sower. To scatter the seed widely and know that some will fall on good ground. We must not downsize the Great Commission to a list of a few people, because we're called to make disciples of all nations. Of course, we're to pray persistently for individuals and key people in our lives to come to Christ. But the main prayer for ourselves should be what Paul says here in verse 4, that God would give us clarity to proclaim the gospel, to share Jesus to anyone and everyone, anytime and anywhere. The key prayer is the clarity to proclaim, the clarity to explain, the clarity to sow the seed far and wide. I want to expand your horizons. Sow the seed far and wide in your daily walk around East London or wherever you may live. Just think, how can I sow the seed far and wide in little ways? Drops of seed into soil that God can water and God can work on a person's heart. Step 4, verse 5. Let's read on. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Paul's saying there, isn't he? He's saying, look, step 4, share the gospel at any and every opportunity. Now, Paul is telling us to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders, those that don't know Jesus. Now, I want to make an important point here, because I think it's true that people do respond better when they hear the gospel from someone they know, someone they've known, someone maybe they trust, someone they've watched their life and watched their lifestyle. But that's only part of the story. Again, we mustn't limit God, because we're to live our lives amongst unbelievers at work, on the streets that we live, with our friends, family members, acquaintances, and we're to guard against the idea that we always need to build a strong bridge of friendship in order to earn the idea or the right to share the gospel. Listen, we have the good news of Jesus. And we're to be keen and we're to be ready to share that with anyone and everyone. Jesus is to be shared at every opportunity. I love the testimonies we heard earlier in the service from Emily and from Hayley. Just meeting people on the Olympic Park and sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus with a friendly face, offering to meet up with someone, offering to read the Bible. There's people who have never heard about Jesus and the gospel and the good news who we walk past every day of our lives. We're to make the most of every opportunity. Friends, loved ones, yes, but strangers, people we bump into, people we come into contact with, people that we're on the same tube with, people that are our neighbours. We're to make the most of every opportunity. We do not need to earn the right to speak because we have no right to remain silent. We have good news. We have something amazing to share. Eternal life. The knowledge that you are loved by an almighty God. And listen, listen. You see, the gospel actually at its very most beautiful and most simple is incredibly easy and wonderful to share. It's a gift. The gospel is a gift. It's the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gift of eternal life. Yes, there are questions and complexities that challenge the most deepest minds of our time. But a child can understand the gospel. A child can understand the free gift of eternal life and the gift of Jesus Christ. So at every opportunity, we're to share Jesus, the gift of Jesus Christ. Fifth step in our personal evangelism kind of tutorship by Paul. Fifth and final step, verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This is really important. Step 5. How we share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is as important as what we say. Paul tells us to speak graciously and attractively. Because listen, it's possible to win an argument but lose a person. Let's be gracious in our responses. Let's be free to say, I don't know the answer to that question. Let's be free to say thank you for listening to me, giving me the opportunity to share about Jesus. Gandhi famously said, it was not Jesus, but Christians who put me off Christianity. We're to share in a manner that demonstrates that we are clothed with the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control. We're to share clothed in these fruits of the Spirit. Paul actually in Ephesians says that he finds evangelism difficult. He finds it scary. It's like join the club. But the Holy Spirit enabled him to overcome his fears. Listen, you, me, we are naturally, most of us, scared or nervous or don't find this easy. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit to clothe us with power from on high, with the words to say, with the gentleness, the kindness, the smile on our face, to answer questions as best we can, to give wisdom that maybe only comes from God. We have everything that we need through the power of God from on high. God just asks us to take a step, to open our mouth, to to walk across the room, to engage with the person in the park, to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be. So let's take a step back. Let's look at these five steps from Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. We're to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. We're to ask God to open doors of opportunity. We're to ask God to help us to speak clearly. We're to share the gospel at every and any opportunity. And we're to share with graciousness and kindness. That's so important. How we share. With a smile on our face. With an engagement. With a love for the person that we're talking to. Now, I just want to close by making a final comment, or a couple of very quick comments on verses 7 to 18. I'm not going to read them all through, but I just want to make a final comment. Paul, in these verses, and I would encourage you to kind of read them, to kind of finish the book, to finish the letter to the Colossians. Paul gives a final greeting in these verses. It's a greeting to the church at Colossae. And it's basically just to warn them not to drift into error. Because you can remember, one of the reasons Paul wrote this book was because there were false teachers who were plaguing the church in Colossae. Verse 7 to 8, Paul says, I'm going to send a man called Tysius. That was one of Paul's team. He'll look after you. He'll guide you. He'll strengthen you. Verse 10 to 11, Paul reminds the church in Colossae that following Jesus can cost you everything, because a man, Aristarchus, again one of Paul's team, is in prison for the gospel. He's like, remember, this is serious stuff, guys. Don't mess around. Verse 12 to 14, he mentions Epaphras. If you remember from Colossians 1 verse 7, Epaphras was the Colossae Christian who had planted the church in Colossae. He had become a Christian under Paul's ministry and then gone back home and planted the church in Colossae. And he says there, look, Epaphras is going to work hard for you as a church. He's for you. He's working with you. Listen to him. And then come verse 15 and 16. And this is just the one thought I want to leave you from these verses. Verse 15 to 16. I'm just going to read them out. Gives Paul his greetings, his final greetings, verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea and to Nymphaea and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Paul here is mentioning to the church in Colossae that you're not the only church struggling with false teachers and battles. You're not the only one. And we don't know how the Colossae church responded to the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. We don't know what happened next, not in any great detail anyway. But we do know how the Laodiceans reacted. Because 35 years later, in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus writes a letter to the church of the Laodiceans via John when he's on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 3. And if you read Revelation 3 verse 14 to 22, you'll know that John writes that letter, the letter of Revelation, and it confronts the lukewarmness of the Laodiceans. It's a huge challenge that the Laodiceans had not listened to Paul's teachings. They'd not listened to his teachings about being strong on the inside, and as a result of knowing your theology and being strong on the inside, acting out and being strong in the power of God and acting as a Christian should. They'd not done that. They were lukewarm. It says in Revelation that God wants to spit them out of his mouth because of their lukewarmness. And in verse 17, Paul says this to the Colossians, and I believe he's saying it to us. He says, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. See to it that you fulfill the calling, the ministry that you have received in the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying to the Colossians, look, live out what you have. Live out your identity of being complete in Christ Jesus. You are strong on the inside. You are complete in Christ Jesus. So clothe yourself in power from on high and live out your identity. Don't be like the Laodiceans. That's a warning for us. Who heard the truth, who heard the teaching, and yet did not act upon it. Hope Church, we've heard the teachings. We know that we are complete in Christ Jesus. So let's not be like the Laodiceans. Let's not be lukewarm. But let's live out who we are in Christ Jesus. Today, this week, and in the months and the years ahead. Let me close in prayer. Father God, I thank you. This beautiful book of Colossians, thank you for the message that we are complete in Christ Jesus. I pray every single one of us would hear that and let it sink in deep into our inner being. And I want to pray that in the coming days, in the coming weeks, we would live out and we would walk out the calling upon us to be good news to those around us, to take every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. I pray for opportunities this week to be good news to those around us. Let us pray for opportunities. Let us take opportunities and let us be gracious and let us be generous. And let us be clothed with power from on high to be your witnesses on our streets, in our workplaces, with our friends, and with our families. And we pray as we scatter the seed widely that in these coming days we would see a great harvest. We would see a great harvest of men and women coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Church, go out this week and live complete in Christ Jesus and sharing the good news of the gospel. God bless.